Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the Endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research about new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the Endowment by visiting us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Major General James Jackson, Commanding General, U.S. Army Military District of Washington. Good morning, General Jackson.
Good morning, Paul.
And joining us in our conversation is another PwC partner, Brian Dixon. Good morning, Brian.
Morning, Paul.
Well, General Jackson, although most of our listeners have probably witnessed the ceremonies and events that MDW orchestrates, could you give us a sense of its roles and the responsibilities?
I have three major missions. The first one deals with something we saw during 9/11, which is to respond to any crises or disaster or any kind of special security operation inside what we call the National Capital Region, which is just roughly a big goose egg in and around Washington, D.C., Arlington, and the surrounding territory. The second one deals with providing base operation support for five different installations that work for me, ranging as far away as Fort Hamilton, New York, up in Brooklyn, and as far down south as AP Hill, Virginia. And then the last one is the thing that most listeners might be most familiar with is the official ceremonials part of our business and public events which we conduct on an annual basis.
How large is your MDW team?
I have a staff that is several hundred, and then, of course, the command across the board ranges is approximately a little over 7,000 people split between military and civilian.
And what type of skills would these people have? You describe such a range of activities. I'm curious.
Well, I pretty much have run the gambit of all skills. For example, I have operators who whose job it is to plan and control operations. Much of what you saw during 9/11, those people were involved with that. I have personnel people to keep track of people, both civilian and military, and take care of them. I have a ceremonial staff that provides oversight and guidance as far as the events we do at both the White House and then, of course, anything we do for the Department of Defense in and around the city. I have logistics personnel who deal with that part of the business. I have personnel who look at the garrison functions or the functions that take place on a day-to-day basis on all those five installations. And so I pretty much run the gambit. I've got lawyers to take care of the contractual issues and some what we call the Uniform Code of Military Justice, the legal part of our business. And, of course, I got Arlington National Cemetery and people like that. So it pretty much runs the gambit.
Can you talk a little bit about what it's like to be a commanding general?
I guess the first thing to say, it's great. It's good to be in charge. Most of us spend our lifetime in this business wanting to command and to be in positions where we pretty much are the senior authority in an organization. Of course, we temper that with understanding we all work for somebody, so we're not necessarily always the end to the food chain. The job is a good one. It's fun to be part of everything that an organization does, and so kind of as a CEO kind of person, I have my fingers pretty much spread across a little bit of everything that goes on in the command. While I won't be the most knowledgeable on any specific subject, I might be able to argue that I know a little bit about everything. And my job is to find out or know where the experts are who can give me that detailed information at the right time.
General, can you tell us a little bit about your career in the Army, some of your highlights that have brought you to this point?
Sure. I come from a military family. My father served 33 years World War II, Korea, and so he was, I guess I grew up in a military family, and I respond to people who ask me where's my hometown, that I really don't have one. I've been all over the country. I've served 30 years, started out after graduation out of college serving in the 82nd Airborne Division, and then continued to multiple assignments with some special ops units and some with the airborne forces, primarily in the light infantry side, which just means we do mostly walking or jumping and that kind of thing. And through a variety of different command and staff positions that has ultimately brought me to here. I've served overseas in Korea twice, across the United States, multiple different locations. I was checking the other day by chance and reminded myself that in 20 years of marriage with my wife, we've moved 13 times. So we tend to move a lot. And I've, in the meantime, been able to raise three daughters that are they're great kids.
Normally we ask what drew you to public service, but I think you answered that by virtue of your family. But I'm wondering what kept you in public service. I can't help but imagine you had other opportunities throughout your career.
I'm not so sure that public service itself is what I focus or I see the military as, to be quite honest. But the fact that I stayed in the military, I think, is an important one. And in the fact that dealing with people tends to be something that is interesting and exciting. Had it explained to me years ago that you can be in charge of things, equipment, and you'll see the same thing pretty much every day. When you work with people, you're always surprised because people do some many different things. And I have found working with people to be a really exciting part of the job. And so as a leader, my job is to interface with people. And so that's what I do all day long, and that's what's been bringing me back to achieve a 30-year career.
Which jobs in your career have given you the most interesting challenges?
Well, I'll be honest and say anytime I've been in command, be it from the company level, which is about an organization of 150, up to regimental size, which is several thousand, and then into the job I'm at now, which is multiple thousand. Anytime you're in charge of something, you draw more satisfaction from the business. But I would tell you also that anytime I've dealt with soldiers in the role of be it jumping out of airplanes or any kind of operations we've done, has brought me great satisfaction because of the things that they do and the way they operate and the kinds of people they are. And all you got to do is turn on the TV any night and see the kinds of things that are going on in Afghanistan today and kind of recognize that. These young kids are just great and 18, 22 years old. And the real challenge is be careful what you ask them to do because they're going to do it. And you need to be right.
What were the positions or the events that trained you to be in command?
Well, I think it's something that you gain by exposure and experience over time. Obviously, you know, you go through your formative years in college, you got 4 years there, and then you start in the Army as a young second lieutenant, and you start to learn. You're a dry sponge soaking up everything that comes across your path. And you also learn by contact with other people. I would say that I am a composite of everybody I've ever worked for or worked with. I see things that they do that I like, and I steal them, and I try and emulate those some way. And so I am a real composite. I couldn't really articulate any single thing that's mine vice someone else's that I've taken on and decided that I think that's the right way to go about doing business.
Was the learning taking place at a technical level or a management level, a general management level?
Oh, I think both. There is a tremendous technical side to our business that most Americans who have no service experience probably have trouble comprehending. Many Americans, their only connection to the military is what they see on television or what they see in the movies. And I would tell you that the complexity of the operations that, just as an example, the things going on in Afghanistan are surprising. I mean, most people would find them to be daunting when you stop and think about trying to build an event that involves multiple things to try and happen all at the same time or very close together, and they all mutually supportive. It gets to be a very technically demanding business. From a management perspective, you're growing every day. If you aren't improving and growing and learning in everything you do, then you have no business being where you are. And I think any major CEO or CEO of any organization would tell you the same thing. He's learning every day.
Let me ask you about leadership. In your opinion, what are the top qualities of a good leader?
Well, I think that's a very broad question, and I could give you a litany of answers. But I guess I would come back to things that have always stuck with me. And first of all, as a leader, I've always carried with me, I've got two major responsibilities. One is to get my job done. And the other is to take care of the people who work for me who are going to be accomplishing that work for me. And if you think about those two things in the way you deal with people, you really can't go wrong. And I guess the third thing I would tell you, I label the trait, the character trait of the ability to adapt to change as being the most significant. And that's even how you adapt from one job to another, how you adapt when you're working for one boss and all of a sudden you get a new boss. How do you adapt between being in a command position versus a staff position? And how do you adapt to just change in your environment? 9/11 brought some changes to the way we live in this country. Question is, how do we adapt to deal with that change? Good leaders, great leaders, can do that.
That's a good stopping point. Come back with us after the break as we continue our conversation with General Jackson of the Military District of Washington. In our next segment, we'll ask him about the events of 9/11 and how they've affected his team and the challenges it's presented. This is the Business of Government Hour.